Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National State Locational Rehabilitation Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star 0. As a reminder, this call is being recorded Tuesday, January 10th, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Nate Arnold. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking time out of your day to join us today. I know the agenda doesn't look like it's got a lot of items on it, but as usual, there'll be a lot of information to convey, and I know you'll probably have a number of questions for us, and that is one of the primary purposes of the call is for us to be able to answer anything that's getting in your way or bothering you at this point. I'm going to go ahead and do the cost reimbursement piece first, and then we'll talk portal readiness after that. Just in way of an update on cost reimbursement, last month we paid out a little over $10 million in claims. Brings us up to about $39.8 for the year. I think we're probably about $8 million ahead of where we were last year this time, which is good. We still have plenty of work here. We just earlier, I guess the end of last week, we finished working September claims. We are now working claims that came in here in October. So that should give you a pretty good idea of whether or not you should have heard on stuff. If you have cases that are certainly pre-September or September, feel free to contact us to determine the status or make sure that they haven't gotten lost or anything. Also, I think on last month's call I mentioned to you the fact that we have an OIG audit of the VR cost reimbursement program that's underway. 38 VR agencies, I believe, had cases, claims that got picked for their sample that they're doing, and we did send memorandums out to everybody asking them to send us material for those. I want to thank those of you who have already sent them in. Those of you that are still working on it, please hurry. otherwise, you're going to have to send me get-well packages in prison or something. So take that to heart. That's really it for, I think, the cost reimbursement piece at this point. I'm going to ask Katie Streibinger to talk a little bit about the portal. And then we'll be prepared to take questions on anything like that that you have questions on. All right, Katie? It's always a nervous.
Hi. Hi, good afternoon. I hit the wrong button again. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I'm just going to give you a little reminder about portal readiness and that we hope that you are getting everything set up that you need to in order to use the portal and that once you have everything set up, you just need to contact the VR help desk with a good time to contact you and a good email, and they will call you back on the phone and coordinate with you to get the information we need in the system. So, and we hope you're all taking the steps towards that. And I really don't have a lot more than that. I feel like we've been saying it the same information on the call. So I think I'm just going to leave it to questions. If you have questions about any of the process for preparedness, I would be happy to answer them or any questions about the portal in general. So I just need my piece short and sweet.
Thank you, Katie. Michelle, did you say that there were already questions about the portal on the chat line?
Yes. Nate, we do have a few. Do you want to take those now?
Yeah, we can go ahead and take those before we open it up for call-in questions.
Sure. Good afternoon. The first question is from Eugenia, and she wants to know when will the new portal be ready for testing, or has the testing started yet?
That's a good question. We are about to kick off phase two of the pilot. If you've been selected for phase two, you should be getting an email this week letting you know about that and when you can join. So expect to see that soon. And the portal itself, we expect to go live the end of March, early April.
Okay. And the second question has to do with a manual or instructions document for the new portal. So So I think that's something that maybe SSA and Awesome can discuss and see if we're going to put together that package for them.
Correct.
Yes, there's a training document.
Yeah, we can hopefully by the time we do the minutes for the call, maybe we'll be able to address that, Anna.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have any other questions?
Ladies and gentlemen on the phone lines, if you would have to ask a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4. We have a question from the line of David Leon. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. My question involves I received an email that my suitability clearance was approved, and does that mean it is now time for that next step of contacting folks to begin working towards access on the portal, or am I waiting to get something in the mail with further instructions?
Do you know?
Yes, you're registered. You are ready to register in the MySSA account, David. This is Natalie.
Okay, so I guess I missed. So what is? Because I've already got the MySSA.gov. This is a separate step.
Yes, you will be emailing the VR help desk your user ID, and they can get you help. They can help get you set up in
The user ID for MySSA. Okay. I may email you separately to make sure I do that right, because here I've got the commissioner's office waiting for something in the mail that clearly is not coming.
Okay. This is Katie. I just want to chime in. Please don't send us your SSA username in the email. That's a private PII information, because that's your private SSA account. We just need you to send an email to let us know a good time to contact you to get your SSN and your SSA username. Those are the two pieces you need. You need your suitability and you need your MySSA.gov account with extra security.
Operator, do we have any other questions?
If we have a question from the line of Carla Bell. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Carla Bell. I'm the manager of Social Security Program Section at Department of Rehabilitation, California. And I had a four-part question about the interactive voice response system. I just wanted to confirm if Social Security plans on continuing the interactive voice response system as part of the new provider portal. And then if retained, will you be requiring successful completion of Social Security suitability process for service provider representatives using the IVR system? And then also in the current IVR system, right now, only the DUNS and the PIN number is required for access. So if suitability is required, how will you determine access for our representatives? And then finally, will the new provider portal offer the IVR system through the new provider, will the new provider portal offer all the date functions and information, such as termination, assignment date, in-use date, that's currently available in the IVR system? Thank you.
It's a very comprehensive question, Carla. Katie, do you have all that?
I can answer the last piece. I can answer what's available in the portal. The functionality that's available in the IVR will be available in the portal, but it will not be IVR.
Okay.
You'll have to be a portal user, and then you can go in and check any SSN and see their status and see if they're signable.
And will it provide the termination date, the assignment date, and the in-use SVR date that we get now with the IVR system?
If the ticket is not in use with you, then you can only give you the reasons that tickets are assignable or not assignable.
Because that's the issue right now. With the online portal, it doesn't provide – currently, the online portal doesn't provide that termination and assignment date and the in-use SVR date. And we can get that, and our staff uses that all the time, that getting that information from the IVR system, the phone line. We use that for our cost reimbursement processing, checking ticket status, things like that.
Right. If you're checking to see if a ticket is just basically assignable, it will tell you, it's very much like the assignability files right now. You'll be able to figure out, you send an SSN and the date, and you'll be able to figure out if it's assignable or not and the reasons why not. But unless the ticket's actually in use or assigned to you, you're not going to know that information because that's not available.
So the new provider portal will not provide that information, those dates. Is
that what you're saying? Not like the IVR. You're not going to get the current IVR functionality, no.
So if that's the case, have you confirmed or not, is the Social Security plan to continue the interactive voice response system in conjunction with the new provider portal?
I know we're working on it, but it is not our primary focus right now. Our primary focus is switching from one portal to the next.
When will you know?
I can't give you a date. We'll probably reply in a minute.
Could you repeat the last thing? I missed it.
I said, I was just saying, I can't give you a reply myself. We'll just have someone reply to that question in a minute.
Yeah, okay. We'll try and address that when we send the minutes to the call out. We'll take it as a question.
Okay. Thank you, Nate.
If there's no other questions at this time.
I know you're probably all looking for guidance from me on these portal-related questions, and I want you to know that since I probably still use like a Tandy TR-80 computer, they don't let me anywhere near technology, and I have to defer to my experts on that. All right, if there are no further questions at this point, is there anything else on the chat line, Anna or Michelle?
Well, Eugenia is asking, how can she ask a question through the phone? So, operator, can you repeat the instructions, please?
Once again, to ask a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4. Once again, that's the 1 followed by the 4 to ask a question. One moment, please.
Do we have
a question?
Okay, go ahead.
We have a question from Eugenia Cox. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Eugenia. Sorry, I obviously didn't hear the instructions very well. Welcome, Carla, because I know you're new there to California VR. This question actually came up, your question about the access by your field staff came up on a previous call, and it was determined that the access they would have had is going to be gone now, and the information that they were able to access was not going to be available, which is kind of disturbing to me. I would think that one source of information should be transported to the different source of information so people could get the same access to the same information that they had before. But my question, what it was determined on a previous call is that you can have two people from each location in a state apply for suitability through SSA, which is what my understanding was. Is that correct, Nate?
I didn't think we'd put a limit on it. I thought we had recommended that you have at least two.
It was two per location. So I believe what they had recommended was that if you had, 50-some offices and you had two people in each office that could pass the suitability, they would be able to have access to the portal. I think that's what we had come to, an agreement on, is that, we were only limited to two people per location.
Eugene, this is Natalie. You can have as many as you like. If you want to add more people, you can just fax in another EQIP applicant list to suitability.
Yeah, and because we're doing the same thing, we're doing two and two for other locations. But then the other question is that we need to have the same access to the information because going through suitability is so horrible. I'm sorry to say that, Natalie, but it is. It's a long, drawn-out process, and I just got cleared. And so it's a long, drawn-out process. And for California to have to do that with so many locations to be able to access it, but would it be worth it to them if they can't get the same information they were getting when they used to be able to call in? So, again, the same information, the new portal needs to be a one-stop shop. It needs to have everything that we were able to get before, or it's really not going to be worth, going through the, the process of suitability to be able to get access to it. And that, to me, would be very frustrating if I were in California's shoes. We don't currently have any field staff that call into it other than ourselves or our benefits planners. So again, we need to possibly look into the fact that we need to be able to get the same information out of the portal. And my other question with regards to the portal is, we volunteered to be at one of the test states, but I don't know that we were ever approved, so I don't know if to look for something coming up. Do you have a list of that?
Yes, you will definitely be in the pilot.
Okay. And then one last question. I have several calls in to you guys there in Baltimore, and I haven't heard back from anybody. One of them was that there was two state VR agencies that had filed a claim for the same individual, and I haven't heard anything about that. And the other one was on an overpayment for a ticket to work, and I haven't heard back from anybody on that either. And
who are you trying to reach in Social Security? Are you trying to reach a specific
person?
Yeah,
I'm trying to reach you guys. It was weird because I had sent an email to you, Nate, saying that the overpayment notice went to two of our field office managers, and I have no idea how it got sent to them. So I'm not sure where the contact information is going. I just got a bunch of scratching heads going, why is this coming to me? This should have gone to you.
Yeah, so, no, I saw that. I actually saw your email about those.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately, I'm pleased to tell you I don't have to get too involved in the ticket overpayment things.
Uh-huh.
I assume you will be hearing from somebody very quickly from the other side of the house on that, but I will follow up with that after the call to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's definitely here. I saw that email.
Yeah, and I don't know that anybody got those emails because nobody ever says, okay, I'll look into that or something like that. So I don't know if people are actually seeing what I'm sending. And since there isn't like a hotline number you can call, it's really all about just email. You know, like I said, I don't know where I'm at on all this stuff and whether I've done what I'm supposed to do or.
All right. Well, I'm going to check on. I'll make sure that somebody answers you about those ticket overpayment things.
Okay.
The one about multiple states. I haven't seen anything on that. Was that an EN help desk inquiry or what? VR help desk.
It was the VR. Yeah. I got a call and I can't remember who it came from, but I got a call. Saying that, you know, there was a dispute on a claim, and I faxed over the claim itself, and I hadn't heard anything else back on that.
How long ago was that?
Maybe a week and a half ago.
All right. Well, I don't want to burden all the national listeners with this case-related stuff, but
yeah, mine was just a matter of is there, you know, a way we can get a quicker response.
And, Eugenia, this is Natalie. As far as the overpayment for the ticket side, there is a number for you to call. I'll email you that number.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Mike Hermanson. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Mike Hermanson in Montana, and I'm kind of following up on David's question because I was a little confused. But my supervisor got my approval for the clearance. And I did go into my personal Social Security and applied for higher security. And I got one letter back saying that, you know, they were glad I had applied for that. And then I haven't got anything else back. Now, was the response to David that I have to contact Natalie to get the security code for the personal Social Security thing to get more clearance? Because I thought we were going to get another letter.
Did you register in MySSA? Do you have an account with MySSA?
Yes, and I asked for more security, and I got a letter back saying they were glad that I asked for more security, and I'd be getting a code in the mail, and I never got a code in the mail. And then when I heard the conversation with David, it sounded like I have to contact you guys to get the code.
This is Katie. I can jump in. We had someone else have this problem. How long has it been since you requested the code?
Oh, it's been a month and a half. It was just before the last phone call, I suppose.
Okay, yeah, it can take up to 10 business days, but if it's been more than 10 business days, you can go back into your mysSA.gov account, go to that tab for extra security, and you can request them to send you another code. And
okay.
They will send you another letter with another code. And when you get that letter and you take that code and go back in, you should have extra security.
Okay.
So, yeah, I would go in and request it.
That I did get didn't have a code in it. But.
Right, yeah, you're missing that letter. You definitely need a letter with a code so that you can establish extra security. And until you take that code that they send you in the mail and go in and put that code in, you don't really have extra security yet because, you know, you haven't really confirmed that you're you because you've got the letter in the mail.
Yeah.
So you definitely need that letter, and I would suggest going in and requesting it again.
Okay.
There's the ability to do that.
Okay. And then I should hear something within 10 days.
Yes, you should definitely get a letter within 10 business days.
Okay, thank you. That helps at least know what the response time is.
Yeah. So those are really the two pieces. Are getting your suitability clearance, which Natalie's coordinating, and then going into your mysSA.gov, creating a mysSA.gov account, then requesting the extra security, getting the letter, going back in, and once you have both of those pieces, that's when we want you to contact the VR Help Desk and let them know that you're ready to give them the information we need over the phone.
Yeah, because I know it's recorded right, because I had to go back into my Social Security doing some other stuff that I was doing, and the first thing that popped up was, you know, put in the code that you received, but I hadn't received the code, or they said, or bypass it, so I bypassed. So I know it's set up, I just haven't got the code.
Okay. Well, if you have any problems going in and requesting it again, why don't you try that first? And if you have any problems, I would say, Natalie, what are we using as our help desk for this? Are we using the VR operations help desk for issues with stuff? Yes.
And I got Natalie's email and phone number.
You can contact me if you have any questions. I'll be happy to help you, Mike.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question is from the line of Donna Osborne. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Donna from Kentucky. I was wondering about the new portal. In the current one, we're able to download an Excel document to check ticket assignability in batches. Are we going to be able to do that in the new one?
Yes.
Yes, great. Also wondered, I've got several people that are trying to get suitability. Well, we've all got suitability clearance, but I don't know where we are as far as the mysSA accounts are concerned. Is there a way for me to find out who has gone through that, or am I going to have to check with each individual person?
We really can't share information with you about other people's personal accounts, so you're going to have to ask them.
Okay. But essentially, once they get that extra security set up, they need to email the VR help desk to follow through with that.
Correct.
Okay. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Jill Martin. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is just in follow-up with Montana's question about getting the code in the mail. We're going to be having a change of address, business address. Does that come to a business address or personal?
Jill, I'm judging by the stunned looks on people's faces.
I noticed the silence there.
We're going to have to get an answer for you on that one. I mean, if it was going to your office, I would assume even if you move, they would have a forwarding process. But
I would hope. Yeah.
We will get an answer and let you know directly.
Okay, and then once I get the code, then I contact Natalie.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
And we have a follow-up question from the line of Carla Bell. Please go ahead.
Hi. Question. This is for question for Nate. Nate, I had sent you questions about the interactive voice response system back in January. And
yeah.
Since I'm new as a manager, I just want to make sure, are you getting my emails when I send them? Because I hadn't gotten
any
response.
I know. I got those, and I have forwarded all of them over to the people that handle that. So if you haven't heard, feel free to bug me, and I will track them down. You know, the portal and suitability are not things I handle myself, but other staff members do. I don't mind getting the inquiries, and I'll be glad to follow up on them for you.
Okay, good, because I have not heard anything.
All right, well,
about our IVR questions, and we really need some answers about that because we really depend, both our field staff and our section really depends on that IVR system, the information it provides. And at this point, it's sounding like that new provider portal might not be providing the information that we need that we get from the IVR. And then also, we need to plan if the IVR system goes away. We're looking at hundreds of staff that use that to verify ticket status of almost 2,000 consumers monthly. So,
you know, I can assure you it is not our intent to take information off the table. And again, this is not something I work on directly, but first, forward me the emails you're talking about again, and I will make sure that somebody gets back to you on them. But two, I would also feel free to illustrate as clearly as you can any information access that you're concerned about losing, and we will either take that into consideration or tell you why it is not being added to the portal capability, okay?
Okay, that would be great.
I don't know at this point whether it's a workier issue or if there's some other. I'm sure if they're taking reducing access, there's got to be a reason for it. So, and I know you guys would understand if we explained that to you. So
haven't gotten any real explanation to date, and we need to be able to communicate that information to our directors, our executives, and our field as well. So we really appreciate clarity
on
that.
Seems reasonable to me.
Thank you so much, Nate. I really appreciate it.
We have a follow-up question from the line of David Leon. Please go ahead.
Hey, David.
Hey, Nate. And this just came through, so I didn't ask earlier because I didn't know if it was going to be an issue. But for the audit from the Office of Inspector General, it just so happens that the cases I've got are cases we closed far enough in the past that I can't get access to many of the records. They've been destroyed. I'm going to send what little I have access to, but we'd be happy to send them other cases.
No, at this point, I'll tell you, I think what you should do, David, is literally just explain what your folder retention criteria is, how you followed it. My impression was that all of the claims that they selected were payments that were made, like in fiscal year 13 or 14. So from our standpoint, I mean, that's stuff that obviously we keep as much as we can here. I'm surprised you guys would get rid of stuff where the payment had been or the decision had been made on it yet.
Well, so again, we may have gotten paid in the last year, but the case may have been closed 6 years ago. So there's some records that we still have in the electronic file, but the actual physical copies of bills and receipts with the stamps, that's not what we keep. So, again, I mean, I'm going to spend what we can. It just...
All right, I'm going to, you know, obviously do the best you can, explain it clearly, but it would seem to me that since a case can get picked for PVR, obviously, until it's paid, I would think you'd hang on to receipts particularly for some period of time after that.
It was a surprise to me to find out that our fiscal department destroys records after 3 years. and I think we will address it going forward for our SSA cases.
Yeah, I'm sure if we find that there's a number of cases where the documentation's not there, just knowing how the IGs work, I would think that would be a recommendation that comes out of their audit that states extend periods of record retention or something. So, but just literally explain what your, you know, what the individual case situation is and what your guidelines are, and give us whatever you can.
Okay.
Appreciate it, David.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Eugenia Cox. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Eugenia. I wanted to respond to David. Nate, you said that you were surprised that we would get rid of cases that hadn't been paid. These are all cases that have already been paid. These are not PVRs.
No, I understand, but they're cases that were paid within the last year.
But every year we have files that are destroyed. Every year they come
that.
Up for destruction.
Okay, well, again, I know you guys have your record retention criteria and whatnot, mm-hmm. just like we do. So long as you're following yours, then you're fine, yeah. and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean,
if
a lot of
us has a problem with that. They'll write it up in their findings.
Yeah, a lot of us have access to things like we have case management systems, so we're able to pull up copies of the plans. We're able to pull up, warrant information as far as the payments and authorizations. We just don't have the hard copies that have signed signatures. And, you know, we could even request to get warrant, canceled checks and things like that. We just don't, in a lot of cases, the actual card copy file may be gone that has the original signatures, the original reports and things like that. But there are some states that are also going paperless and they're scanning information.
Sure.
And you just hope that they have scanned everything that they needed to scan.
Right.
So all of us are in a different boat.
Yeah, I have a pretty good sense of that, and I understand what you're up against. I apologize for having to, ask you guys to put that kind of stuff together because, it's above and beyond the call of duty. But again, as long as you're following your guidelines,
yeah.
that's fine.
Yeah, we know it's not coming from you. We know it's coming from somebody auditing you. So
some big meanie other than me.
Yeah, some big meanie other than you.
Thank you, Eugene.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
And there are no other questions at this time.
All right. Well, thank you. Michelle, Anna, good folks at Awesome, do you have anything you want to add?
Nate, hi. This is Michelle. No, not at this time. There's no. You've handled all of them very well. Thank you, Nate and Katie and Natalie.
Well, thanks to everybody that dialed in. Thanks for all that you do all the time to try and keep this boat running in the right direction. We'll try and get an agenda out to you for next month, hopefully with a little bit more lead time. It's just been a little crazy around here, but have a good month till we talk again. Take care, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.